with Legal Shield, and you know, I definitely attribute much of my success to being able to share not only the Moore story as a family, but really just the legacy that we can build here with Legal Shield as a result. I won't be on the call long because, unfortunately, I have no power. So I'm going to jump right into the call, and I don't have power because of if you caught me on a little over a decade ago, I probably wouldn't have had power in general because of my financial situation. But we have a bad storm going on here in Maryland, and the power has been out. So I'm walking around in the dark here a little bit. But, again, the show must go on, so I'm honored to have an opportunity to speak here briefly on the call. And for those who I've never had a chance to meet, again, my name is Mike Humes. I'm actually calling in from the state of Maryland, originally from Washington, D.C. Went to spent my high school and college years here in the D.C. area. Actually spent 5 years in college to leave school only a sophomore. I think me and Chris Hughes have that same story. And but obviously we know that you can come out of that story and create success, and that's the beauty of being involved with this incredible company. And so I'm just going to touch for a few minutes on a few key things as I try to make my way around my home here in the dark. But again, it's been such a tremendous opportunity that when I found Legal Shield, or I should say Legal Shield found me, I was definitely at a point where I needed the opportunity. I had been working as a postal worker, a mailman, if you will, for 5 years, almost 5 years. I was introduced to this opportunity just a year and a half into the post office, and I totally brushed it off. I was delivering mail to lawyers and law firms that charged anywhere from $500 to $1,000 an hour. And so based on that, I made the assumption that this wasn't real, that this couldn't be what my coworker was trying to explain to me that it was. And I did that because, again, he said that I could have access to a lawyer for $1 a day. And I just didn't think that that was possible. If that was possible, I felt everyone would have this service. And obviously we all know with 3.7 million lives being protected with our service, almost 1.5 million families in general, that that's just not the case. People don't know what we have. And that's the reason why I can jump on this call now, well over a decade later, having gone from mailman to multimillionaire with Legal Shield, is simply because people don't know we exist. We are truly an idea whose time has come. And so I'm going to share with you briefly three nuggets that have helped me along my journey to go from mailman to earning, being tremendously blessed to earn multi-millions with this company. With, you know, a fifth-year sophomore, if I can do it, it simply means that anyone can accomplish any and all that you set forth for yourself to accomplish. And it started for me truly with my wants and reasons. I started to write down, we call it our reason why. And I literally put that down, and it was long before Legal Shield when I resolved the things that I wanted as a young man to be able to provide for my future family. I wanted to help my mom, who had worked over 30 years for the electric company in the Washington, D.C. area, to retire and start living out of her savings. That was truly what drove me. And so I think we can talk technically about how to make a sale. We could talk, you know, about how to go out and introduce someone to the opportunity. If you want to know how to go out and be phenomenal in group, I heard my buddy Lisa Bass on the call. You know, just you can have her share those nuggets. I mean, listen, we can get the technical part of the how-tos out the way, but if you don't have a why to, if you don't know why you're doing Legal Shield, trust me, you won't be successful as you'd like to be. So I want to help everyone to clearly define, or really encourage you to clearly define why you started with Legal Shield. I really appreciate, you know, Mr. Moore introducing me, and the biggest accolade he could give me had nothing to do with the jacket I've earned or the platinum status, but it's being a father. And for me, that was a strong want and reason for doing Legal Shield and doing it to the best of my ability. I wanted to be the best father I could possibly be. I have a daughter who will be 15 here in just a few weeks. And I wanted to be a stay-at-home dad, a full-time father. And I've been blessed to do that from the day Michaela was born simply because I took this opportunity seriously. So I'm going to ask you, if you're taking notes right now, what are your wants and reasons? Have you clearly defined them? If you're riding with some friends, if you're home, have you talked to your workout partner vividly and been vividly and specifically written those goals down as to what it is you're looking to accomplish? Maybe it's short term, maybe between now and, of course, Las Vegas, as you just heard Edified. Maybe it's between now and the end of this year, which, trust me, is going to come quicker than you think. Maybe it's between now and a five-year plan. I just left our team event, and we talked about a five-year commitment, and we wrote those things out. I'll never forget, it seems like it was just yesterday, but it was almost a decade ago, that my good friend, Mr. Danny Katoa, regional vice president out in Hawaii, $200,000 income earner, was sitting at our event as a broke director, sleeping on the floor of someone else's room, traveling all the way to the mainland just to get to that event. And he wrote out his goals as we did a five-year commitment. 5 years later, from sleeping on someone else's floor, not earning any money as a director, based on his situation, folks telling him that it would never work on the island of Hawaii, that folks would never do it. They won't come dressed in suits. You're not going to be able to get people to commit. 5 years later, he was a multimillionaire with Legal Shield, having produced 3 six-figure ring earners on an island when folks said it wouldn't happen. So you can't tell me why you can't do it. I want you to write down your reason why you will and you can do it. If you clearly define those things, I trust me, you're going to have success here with Legal Shield. Secondly, what are you willing to give up to go up? Listen, you're not going to just – success isn't just going to happen. Just because Jeff Bell says we're going to $14 million doesn't mean that I trust that we're going to $14 million, but it doesn't mean that Mike Humes' organization or business is going to grow as a result. I've got to be intentional about what I'm willing to do in order to make sure that I capitalize on this incredible opportunity that we're all blessed to have. So what are you willing to give up to go up? Listen, I know the playoffs are on right now in multiple sports. I've been a sports fanatic since birth. I wanted to be a sports announcer for ESPN, but I was terrified to talk in front of people, so knew that wouldn't happen. But I was, I obviously had these goals, and I knew sports like the back of my hand. It's amazing how God blessed me with a daughter and not a son, because he wanted to make sure I stayed focused. I could tell you, sports was something I did very well. But I had to give that up short term in order to have the things that I wanted long term. And when I say give it up, I meant I didn't need to know the statistics of every player, of every athlete, who was drafted here, who tore their Achilles that week. I didn't need to know all those statistics because it didn't pay me very well. It's amazing how we can spend 50 hours, the average American, basically working to build someone else's dream at a job, and then another 30 hours a week in front of a television allowing you to do just that, tell us a vision of how others are living their lives. And that was me. I probably spent more than 30 hours because I was glued to that. And so I had to make a decision when I became a Legal Shield associate and I said that this was something I wanted. I had to make a sacrifice. I was working 70 hours a week delivering mail. I was working 6 days and often 7 days a week. And so I didn't have enough time for friends. I didn't have any time for family. And so I had to make a decision on what was going to change. I used that excuse of not getting started for 2 years before finally seeing this incredible opportunity for what it was, which was a godsend that could allow me to change my life if I was willing to change my mind. Let me say that again, because for some of us, that's the only thing stopping us. The only way you could change your life is to do what? Simply change your mind, change your philosophy on where you're going and how you plan on getting there. And so I had to give up some things in order to go up. The number one thing I had to give up, truthfully, it was my victim's mentality. I was hooked on pain. I didn't expect success to happen from a kid from the inner city of Washington, D.C. There's no way that I could be that person, having witnessed all the things that I saw, that I would have assumed that I would be able to have success. But I made a decision to get involved. I made a decision to work this business as hard as I possibly could, and I gave up that victim's mentality, and things started to happen. I knew that it had to be bigger than me. I knew that I had to change my associations, which is truly number three. Who are you willing to associate and more so disassociate with? Listen, it's one thing to clearly define your goals. It's another thing to decide what you're willing to sacrifice. But the third thing was definitely who was I willing to really spend time with. And those who I was spending time with in the past were not helping me. Those who had my ear and whose ear I had weren't helping me to go and grow into the man that I said I wanted to be. And so I had to network with others. I had to understand that, one can't multiply, right? I couldn't multiply by myself, so I had to develop people skills. We've got to listen. We've got to learn. We've got to absorb from others. We've got to ask questions. We've got to document those answers from the questions we've asked. We have to understand that success is truly a collection of relationships. It's whatever you are willing to settle for determines the quality of your future. I'll say that again. Whatever you're willing to settle for determines the quality of our future. And so I have relationships that weren't of quality. And it wasn't until I got around a Darnell Self. It wasn't until I got around a Linda Gray. It wasn't until I got around a Kevin Mack, a Carlo Brown, a Danny Katoa, and many, many, many more who I could name, even those who are your leaders here on this line. It wasn't until I was able to hear from them and get around to Larry Smith and learn that, guess what, this opportunity can be real for me, that I can become more, that I the opportunity wasn't just for someone who was of another race or another gender or another age bracket, that it was there for me as well if I was willing to pay the price and go out and build a business. And so truly the association aspect has had a huge impact on my business. And lastly, I can tell you it was exactly what Mr. Moore referenced right before his introduction of me. It was getting to the big event, because that's where I was able to turn some of those associations who I'd only read about, some of those associations I'd only watched via video. It was getting to the big event where I started to understand that it was bigger than just what was going on in Maryland. It was bigger than just, you know, what I saw at my local briefing. It was going to the event, and it changed my life by simply changing my mind. I'll never forget getting a chance to hear from the late, great Woody Alexander on stage saying, I built it right one time, and I built it with a sense of urgency, though, so I don't have to worry. I can, you know, leave this earth and know that Fran will be taken care of, Fran being his lovely wife, Fran Alexander. And I'll never forget where I sat, as if it was only me in that arena. It was me at that event, and he was talking directly to me saying, Mike, build your business with a sense of urgency, not emergency, but a sense of urgency. Do it right the first time. Write good business. Make sure you follow up with your members. All those things that he shared, I took notes on. And today, I still have those notes from March 11th through the 14th, 1999, when I went to my first event. Why? Because those were some of the notes that totally changed the Humes family tree. Because I made a decision, family, not to take this thing lightly, not to take it as a couple $100 investment, but something that could turn me into a multimillionaire. There's no other way to describe how a mailman can earn his first million by 31, $5 million by the age of 40, can have an organization that's been paid hundreds of millions of dollars. And it's simply because we all collectively have an obligation to go out and to share this service with those who we care about, to share this service with people who don't know that there is an opportunity out there that can put them in a better position. And so I just count it really as my mission to go out and empower as many people as I can of all races, of all creeds, of all ethnicities, from all faiths, to share this opportunity that Mr. Stonecipher has been blessed to give us, and the opportunity to carry this thing on. I mean, if Mr. Moore can get on this call, having just come out of the hospital and give an introduction, then how dare I feel as though I can't go out and continue to empower as many people as possible. We have a mission. We have an opportunity that can change lives. And I just look to see the Moore Success Group have as many people as you possibly can. How many people individually do you expect to have, not just as a Moore Success team, but individually, your committee of one? How many folks are you going to How many folks are you going to talk to get them to the big event? How many folks do you expect to have at your next weekly presentation, at your next Super Saturday, and at the national conference here coming up in July? So I believe there's someone on the speaker mode, so I'm going to pass the call back over to you, Mr. Randy Moore. I appreciate the opportunity to be on this call. Thanks so much for your time. Family, if there's anything I can do to assist you guys, I'm definitely a phone call away. With that, I'll pass the call back over to you.
Well, thank you very much, Mike. I apologize for the interference there. We try to keep the calls muted, but every once in a while somebody sneaks through. But appreciate you being on tonight. Thank you so much for being our friend. You're a great father, like Dad said earlier, a great friend, a great mentor of mine. I remember when I first met you, the first time we met, getting our shoes shined together. Do you remember that?
Absolutely, I remember it, and I remember it well. I remember going to the gentleman to pay it, and he said, hey, the gentleman who just sat next to you already took care of it, and you taught me years ago how to pay it forward, my friend, and I appreciate that, and I'll never forget it.
Well, I appreciate you, Mike. I appreciate, like I said, your friendship, what you have done for the Moore Success Team. Even though your power's out, you're still here trying to help us on our call tonight, and I know you're a busy man, but I appreciate it, and we want to thank you from the bottom of our heart for always being there anytime we've called.
Hey, Mike, so Ken Moore speaking.
Yes, sir.
With your power out, reminded me of a deal that Randy's wife and I did way back in the 80s. We went to Ardmore, Oklahoma, and it came up a tornado, and we went ahead and did a meeting, signed two people up while a man was being blown away right about two blocks from us. So congratulations on being a real soldier of prepaid legal and legal shield. God bless you, my friend. I hope you have a good evening. I hope you get your power back on.
Yeah, I'm sure it'll come back on soon, and God bless you, and also an early happy birthday to you. I'm sure you didn't know I knew, but happy birthday. I know it's around the corner, and look, I'll be celebrating with you. It's that Thursday, I believe. I'll be celebrating with you Wednesday or Thursday.
Actually, it's Wednesday, and I'll be 79, right?
God bless. Absolutely. We're honored to have you as pioneering and still leading from the front. You know, so many folks, I mean, you could obviously retire, take your foot off the gas, but, you know, anytime I'm talking to Jeff Bell, he never ceases to mention your name and the good counsel that you continue to give him. And, you know, I know we're all blessed to be able to glean from your leadership and friendship. And, you know, I just consider myself a part of the family, so you can't get rid of me.
Well, son, you better remember that.
Absolutely. You all take care. God bless. Have a phenomenal evening.
Thank you, Mr. Hume. Appreciate that. Now we're going to go straight out to the state of Idaho and a top executive director on our team who actually was a guest speaker on tonight's private conference call. Talk about that just a little bit. Is none other than Mr. Damian Schieber. Damian, are you on?
I am. Can you hear me okay?
I can hear you just fine, Ms. Schieber.
Fantastic. Well, I'll tell you what, I'm a little speechless at having to follow Mr. Mike Humes. But, you know, I want to talk about PCC for just a quick second. Here's the reality. PCCs are probably, I'm like 99% sure that they're probably the most underutilized tool that we have. And so, obviously, we run, you know, Mr. Eddie Guzman and Mr. Keith Wan and the other leaders on the More Success team all came, realized that we were underutilizing them. And now, so now you have one every Monday night, a Spanish one at 8 o'clock Eastern time, 5 Pacific, and an English one at 8:30 Eastern time, 5:30 Pacific time, right before the call, right before this call. And so now you have an easy exposure to do, right? You could be on the way home from work. You could be at work that day and just say, hey, listen, I'm going to hop on a conference call tonight. They're going to be talking about a way to make some money part-time around what we're doing here. How would you like to hop on it with me? I'll just three-way you in, blah, 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 right? The idea is this, though. It's not just the recorded PCCs, because, by the way, we record them. I was told by Mr. Wan tonight that we record them, so we could use them throughout the week. So we have the live PCC, and then you can always use the recorded version. But here's where I think we fall down to. Use your upline. If you have a team, you know, do a PCC. It doesn't have to be one of the ones that we set aside to do. It doesn't have to be one of the pre-recorded ones. You can tailor a PCC to any market and to any circumstance. So maybe, you know, I've done PCCs for my team just for insurance agents. Right, where someone came to me and said, hey, I've got three different insurance agents I want to prospect. I said, great, let's get them on a PCC all at the same time because they weren't all in the same location. Right, so let's get them on a PCC. And then I opened it up to the rest of my team since I was doing it anyway. Opened it up to the rest of my team, said, hey, I'm doing a PCC for so-and-so. It's for insurance agents. Anybody else that has an insurance agent prospect, hop on the call at such-and-such a time at such-and-such a date. Right? We've done them for just memberships. We've done them for different professions. We've done them for different circumstances. You know, like we all have people that, you know, for whatever reason, listen, $149 we all know is not a lot of money, but sometimes we just don't have $149. And so, you know, hey, there's several people. Great. Let's get them all on a PCC and figure out, you know, talk to them about how to get started with no money out of their pocket, right? Jim Rohn says you can sell then buy or you can buy then sell. Now, we don't necessarily have inventory to buy, but we can go to work and get people faster qualified on paper before they ever, you know, process their own associate agreement, right? But the idea is you can use a PCC for any circumstance, and we are not using it enough. And so I would invite you to, if you have a team, to utilize the PCC. You know, what better way? You know, if you're not doing anything on a given night anyway, just let your team know, hey, we're going to do a PCC this night. By the way, it's a great way to develop presenters. So let me give you an idea. This is a couple of years ago, maybe 4 years ago now, but I remember I have a guy on my team named Aaron Krebs, and when he was first getting started, we would do a PCC. I would do one on one night, and then he would do one the next night. I would do one so he could hear me, and then he would do one, and we would have everybody on the team drive people to the PCC, right? And I would do it, and then he would do it. And then the next week, I would do it, and then he would do it, just so he could learn to be a better presenter. And today, he does a lot of group presentations, but he got good at developing a concise presentation because he was doing those PCCs. And that was actually his idea. He said, hey, listen, I want to be able to do a PCC, but I don't know how to do it. Can you help me? I said, great, here's what we'll do. We'll do one. You'll listen to me do one. We'll do one a night or two later, and you can do that one. Right? And that way he had one to hear, and then he had one to do. PCCs are way underutilized, and we need to be doing more of them, myself included. In fact, because I was doing the PCC earlier tonight, I thought to myself, we need to get back to this. In fact, I'm going to schedule a couple. So I'm going to, I've got my team call later, you know, with my core group, and that's what I'm going to be talking about on my call. I'm going to be like, hey, what PCCs should we be doing this week and next week to close out the month strong, right? Because the bigger your team gets, some of you are directors and have teams, some of you are EDs and have teams, the bigger your team gets, the greater the value of PCC will add. Now, if you don't have a big team, that doesn't mean it's not valuable yet. It means you need to start building a culture that utilizes them. So with that, Mr. Moore, I will turn the time back over to you, sir.
Can you hear me now, Mr. Schieber?
I can.
All right. Appreciate all those comments. And if you haven't heard that, ladies and gentlemen, it'll be recorded. You'll be able to go back and hear the PCC or the private conference call. Like Mr. Schieber said, it's a great exposure to the business. But now I want to quickly go out to the state of South Carolina and another executive director on the team, Mr. Tony Barkley. Mr. Barkley, are you on?
That I am. Can you hear me okay, Mr. Moore?
Yes, sir. I sure can, Mr. Barkley. Go right ahead.
Yeah, well, imagine that. I now have to go after Damian Seaver and Optimister in my team. But we'll try to make it happen. Before I give a quick comment or two on some training, definitely we all need to keep Mr. Moore in our prayers. Prayer works, and we just want to get him better. So let's all be in prayer. Well, the thing I want to talk about, Mr. Moore, real quickly is the importance of these PBRs. Of course, we hear about it day in and day out, but I think oftentimes we forget the importance of continuing to run our private business receptions, and not just for a brand new person, but someone who's been around for a while, they could continue to run them. You know, if you couple that with our weekly meetings, so if we think about a regular business that is open 5 days a week so people could come through and transact business, our business is no different in the sense that if we're open for business at least 2 days a week, one in a weekly PBR and our weekly local meetings, then we'll see some financial rewards come through. You know, we're building a brand new team out in Jacksonville and Savannah, and I heard those folks on the call. And so we just want to really make sure everybody on the call, for that matter, knows the importance of not only the PCCs, they're working, the PBRs, they're working, as well as the Super Saturdays as well. So it's all about getting people in front of the information, as we all know, and we keep the main thing the main thing, and the main thing will work. So just wanted to share that. I know we got to get off the call, but I hope that helps somebody tonight.
It does, sure. Absolutely, Mr. Barkley, and we appreciate you being on. Like most of you probably don't know, Mr. Moore was actually very ill tonight. He just got released from the hospital, and yet he still wanted to get on for a second and just let everybody know that he's still around and still kicking and everything's going well. He wanted to introduce Mr. Michael Humes. So with that, I want to ask you, please keep him in your prayers. Let's keep God first, family second, and Legal Shield third, and, of course, everything else seems to work out if we do that. So with that, we're going to go ahead and close the call and let everybody say goodnight to everyone.